I would invite you to take a Bible near you if you didn't bring one with you, and turn to Romans chapter 2 as we read verses 25 through 29. Romans chapter 2, verses 25 through 29. As we think today about how can you mend a broken heart. Circumcision, indeed, is of value if you obey the law, but if you break the law, your circumcision has become uncircumcision. So if those who are uncircumcised keep the requirement of the law, will not their uncircumcision be regarded as circumcision? Then those who are physically uncircumcised but have kept the law will condemn you that have the written code and circumcision, but you break the law. For a person is not a Jew who is one outwardly, nor is true circumcision something external and physical. Rather, a person is a Jew who is one inwardly, and real circumcision is a matter of the heart. It is spiritual and not literal. Such a person receives praise not from others, but from God. Have you ever felt like your heart was breaking? Many of us have experienced that. That sad and sickening feeling at some point in our lives. Perhaps you've even had that feeling over a poor choice that you made. A choice that resulted in sin or maybe got you in trouble in some other ways. That sickening feeling where you just have a broken heart. Parents. Grandparents will often tell you that there have been times in their lives where they have just been simply heartbroken. Sometimes even children might be heartbroken over maybe a situation within the family or something a little less serious, not getting exactly that thing that is hanging out there on the wall with a price tag on it exactly as you want it. But what do we do? How do we mend brokenheartedness? Perhaps you've even experienced brokenheartedness through church or connections with other Christians. As I said the other week, you may have noticed something of a musical theme running through the month of September. And back in the 1970s, the Bee Gees had a hit song. And the title of that song actually is the title that you find listed in the bulletin today. How can you mend a broken heart? And is it possible to really mend a broken heart physically? Now, we know that operations can be done, but that brokenheartedness that goes beyond the physical is not something that the physical surgeries or tests or even medications can take care of. In this particular song, the Bee Gees speak of an experience from an earlier time in life. I can think of younger days when living for my life was everything a man could want to do. I could never see tomorrow, but I was never told about the sorrows. How can you mend a broken heart? How can you stop the rain from falling down? How can you stop the sun from shining? What makes the world go round? And how can you mend this broken man? How can a loser ever win? Please help me mend my broken heart and let me live again. And then they go, da 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 da. But so much for that. But it is a cry. A cry that perhaps some of us may have experienced in our own lives. That living for my life rather than for something even larger and greater. The life that God has for me to live. Maybe we've gotten to that point where we feel like we are broken and we are losers and we can never win. Maybe we get out there and we say, you know, nobody told me about this sorrow that was going to come. And sometimes that even works with church. We church people oftentimes make it so easy for somebody to come and join the church and become a Christian without truly expressing how difficult it can be and the other sorrows that may come. But here in this song, and I think the people to whom Paul was writing in Romans, there is this experience of wondering what more there can be and how, when we face difficulties in life, can our hearts truly be mended. There is a cry that many carry in our hearts, sometimes not even letting others know of that brokenness. We go through the motions. We go through the rituals, seeming to be fine on the outside and hoping that the rituals will make it okay as we hide the hurt of a broken heart. So what does Paul say about mending broken relationships and mending brokenheartedness that we experience? And that really is a part. There's more to it here. There's obviously some questions about who is truly one of God's children, those who simply keep the rituals or try to. And Paul says those Jews who are circumcised physically so often break the rules and the rituals and the expectations that they continue to be broken and brokenhearted. And those Gentiles who may not be physically circumcised but have recognized there is something spiritual and inner about taking away the outer and opening up to God in such a way that the heart is mended and whole. And when brokenheartedness comes, it can be healed. The focal verses are part of a larger section in which Paul addresses outward rituals in which many place their faith, expecting those outer things, going to synagogue or church, to solve their problems and keep them safe. But they ignore the true place of healing and life, the inner spirit that God has given. The outward rituals are supposed to reflect inward convictions with God, but so often they don't. Prayer, reading the Bible, keeping a spiritual journal, celebrating communion, singing the hymns. These things can help us, but if they are simply external signs rather than an inward experience, they do us no good. Some people place their trust in being churchgoers, in knowing all the hymns by heart, in reciting the books of the Bible at the drop of a hat. They sing the little song. Used to ask students in Old Testament and in New Testament early on, I'd ask students, how many books are there in the Bible that is used traditionally by Protestants? And I would always hear somebody humming the little song as they were going along trying to count them up. Or perhaps they can remember the date of getting saved and being baptized, and they can tell you that at the drop of a hat. But these external things and knowing the right words and the right number of times say praise the Lord, pass the grits, doesn't do any good if the inner spirit has not truly been mended. some may put us in better shape, some of these things, and may get us to a point where we can ask for help and experience that help. But in and of themselves, these externals do not work. Paul addresses the Jewish practitioners here. He speaks of their self-assuredness in their rituals, in their being able to do these things, and they think that that makes them truly God's child. Oftentimes, they can tell others exactly what they ought to do, while sometimes they themselves ignore the inner rituals, the inner spirit, and how to relate to God in a deeper sense. They forget so often, and sometimes we as Christians get so caught up in the ritual that we forget that there's something more, and that that connection with God, that relationship, is what truly heals our hearts. That's where the true depth of the law and God's grace is in that inner spiritual relationship. Just as an aside, I don't know how many of you saw the Today Show this morning, but there was a little blurb on there about some churches in California, and there are other churches that are thinking about doing this. They're putting in kiosks that will take your debit card. Won't take credit cards. You can't do it on credit. But now you can swipe your debit card, punch in your PIN, and rather quickly head out the door. You've paid your tithe or offering or whatever in that fashion. And one of the women with whom they were speaking said, "Oh, yes." She said, "I think it's wonderful. That way we can really keep in touch with God." Swiping the card through the kiosk is keeping in touch with God? I don't think so. Well, I guess that depends on which God you're talking about. But not the one that reaches into the inner spirit. Once again, the rituals. Not truly understanding the depth of God's grace. Some might claim cures for brokenness, but when they don't keep the spirit of the law, Paul says, then the heart cannot be mended. When they only keep the letter, they're truly not God's child. Only those whose hearts are circumcised, that is, those who understand and keep the full spirit of God's law of grace, are God's children, whether they're Jewish or Gentile, Jewish or Christian. In fact, what Paul is doing here is redefining what it means to be included in the family of God. Christians may practice the rituals, whether those are high church and subdued or jump shout boogie oogie Jesus. But that does not heal the broken heart, and that does not make us inclusively found within the Spirit of God. Inward obedience of spirit that leads to open practice, not selfish, self-serving religion, is the cure for a broken heart. That's relationship. Inward obedience of spirit and openness to God that will lead to practice outwardly is what cures the broken heart. It's what mends the sorrows, even those that come unexpectedly. Sometimes people outside the church act in a more Christian spirit than those inside. I've shared some time ago, but it bears sharing again, that at a Christian institution at which I worked for a number of years, some things happened, and one of the persons who worked in the library left. And sometime later, she said to several of us, "You know, it's a shame that the folks out here in the secular world have treated me with a much kinder, gentler spirit than I was treated in the Christian institution. Unfortunately, that can sometimes happen. And as I've said before, and will say again at some point in time, or probably several, the Christian church is the only group that I know that sometimes wounds folks and then shoots their wounded. Many who claim that they are Christian are not the most convincing examples of what a Christ-like spirit really means. And some of that, I think, is because of our own brokenheartedness, and we don't recognize how to change that. We have forgotten what Paul says, that it's a matter of the inner spirit and not just the externals. And if we do not allow God to truly fix or mend our brokenness so that we can live again, then we cannot help others with their brokenheartedness, no matter how hard we try. God asks us to cultivate an inner righteousness, which is so hard for us to really do, or our hearts can never fully praise God either, or be praised by God. Jesus himself said that we are not to be like the hypocrites, the hypocrites, the play actors who stand on the street corners and shout long, loud prayers to be impressed upon others. But rather, we are to relate with God inwardly so that our external actions will reflect that spirit of God, not a spirit of contention or bitterness. Only when we continue to ask and to ask God, how can a broken heart be mended, will we find that healing. For if we ask each other and we seek to do those things by ourselves, we will only find bitter disappointment. For it's a right spirit with God and with others that is the key to mending not only our brokenness, but the brokenness of those around us, Christian and non-Christian. And in that way, we can begin not only to live again, but we can help others to know that they too can live again. Even though the sorrows may come, the fullness of praise to God and praise from God through us will overcome. It is in the fulfilling of our covenant with God in Christ that we find healing for brokenness. When we stop thinking, as in younger days, that living for our lives is everything a man or woman or child could ever want to do, and we ask God that question, how can you mend my broken heart? And then open ourselves to the healing. Can we find fulfillment? And can we fulfill the call of Christ to reach out to the poor and proclaim the time of God's favor? Would you join me in prayer? Oh Lord our God, we sometimes try to hide our brokenness. Perhaps we even try to hide it from ourselves, because to admit that we are broken seems to make us look lesser in the eyes of those around us. And yet, we can never be whole. We can never be full. We can never be truly faithful until we open ourselves to that spiritual circumcision that allows you to see within our hearts and allows us to see where we are broken and to open ourselves to your mending. Please help us by mending our broken hearts so that we can truly live again. And so that through our living, others will know that their brokenheartedness can end. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Our hymn of decision is hymn number 396, Breathe on Me. As we sing, asking God's Spirit to breathe upon us and to heal and mend that brokenness within us, our altar is open for any who would make a profession of faith for Christ for the first time. For those who would recommit themselves to that healing and to be a healing and mending influence. Or to those who would join with us to reach out from this place so that broken hearts can be healed. Hymn number 396, Breathe on Me.